Welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast for another episode or another episode recap of the challenge, as we have two episodes of the challenge to talk to you guys about today. Very excited for at least one of them, and the other one we're still going to talk about. So a lot to get into here, talking about the challenge, Double Agents, and the premiere episode of the challenge All-Stars. So first, let me bring in my co-host, Brian Scally. Scally, how you doing?
Hello, hello. I debated going by Tenderoni now, but ultimately decided against it. I'm good, you know, as good as can be for the results of these two episodes, I guess. One episode, we'll say, did not air this week, and the other one, mostly fun.
I have questions for you. Let's put those on pause. We will get into those. As first, let's bring in our guest. By the way, I, of course, forgot to introduce myself because nobody knows who I am. Hi, I'm Matt. I always forget that part, and I feel self-conscious about it afterwards, but we have our guest here with us today. Mel Sullivan, welcome back to the Dom and Colin podcast challenge coverage, the best place in the world to be, Mel.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yes.
I'm so excited to talk challenge. Double Agents is still happening, but All Stars is here. What a week.
What a week. Mel, the queen of challenge clubhouse rooms.
Oh my God. I just got off of Clubhouse too. I got off of Clubhouse to come podcast. Couldn't turn down the chance to talk to you two about it. Plus, feeling good about my draft. Sort of. So, you know, we've got to kick off the season the right way.
Yes. lots of stuff happening here. I thought, we definitely needed to get you back in here. We had the draft. It was a lot of fun. But now that we're actually seeing these people, we want to talk to you. We want to talk to Haley. We want to talk to anybody about how crazy this stuff is. Scally, a lot to get into for the All-Stars. And I'm already just only focused on that. And I've already forgotten about the episode, but that's fine.
I know. I keep thinking, like, how many thoughts I have about this new one, like, how excited I am, but a little bit of housekeeping, I guess you could call it, with the first episode that we have to talk about here with Double Agents.
Yeah, pretty much. So should we just get into it? I mean, let's do the Challenge 36 coverage as fast as we can, and we'll talk about the All-Star season afterwards. Maybe we'll, if we work hard enough, we'll get some timestamps. So if anybody is only here for the All-Stars coverage, you can jump ahead. And if you're going to be leaving us after the 36 coverage, wow, that's rude. So. let's get into it. But first, Mel, we haven't talked to you at all during this season of Double Agents. Just some general thoughts. How have you been enjoying the season?
Double Agents started on a real high. I was really enjoying it. I liked the idea of skulls being limited, that there were strategic ways that you could force people to battle each other and not get skulls, or that there'd be a lot of stuff, minus the constant partnerships, which I actually think I'm happy that occurred, because in other seasons, it's kind of stayed stagnant. It's just sort of petered off this season into too long. And I think maybe if the season was 4 or 5 episodes shorter, maybe we'd be a little more amped. But it just seems to be dragging at this point.
Yeah. And, dragging it is. And also when you lose big people, big players, big T, it just kind of makes it even worse. Let's rip the Band-Aid off, Scally.
It's so horrible. Like, this week had to be a women's elimination week again. Like, now we have to stick to the schedule you seem to have started. Yeah, no, I have thoughts. I'm upset. I've kind of felt like knew this was probably coming at some point. Still disappointed by it, obviously. But Big T, our fave, everyone's fave, at least should be, has gone home. She put up a good fight. So I'm happy about that. The episode gave her her due. It ends with not to jump way too far ahead. I think, at least a little. It was mostly about her this episode. They talked about how, I'm sure that she'll be back. There's no way this is her last one. She's so good at everything you can't train for, but she, has all the natural stuff, and, you can train for the running. That's the easiest part to pick up. So I think that they are hyping her up and ready for her to make her return as soon as they can get her back on. But obviously, I'm going to miss her for the three episodes that we don't have her this season or whatever it is.
And I saw, because a couple days ago, there was a lot of season 37 speculation going on. Apparently, let me just say this now before I forget about it later. Apparently, the quarantine starts for that on April 11th, which is 9 days from today. So very close for that one. So, you know, the casting rumors are going to pick up. And I just wanted to check back in on that list. And Big T is one of like the three names, or it might have gone up to like five now on the women's side, who is like considered, you know, as close to a lock as they can consider her right now. So yeah, she'll definitely be there. Also, can I just, let's also get this out here before I forget, Amanda coming back potentially. Amanda,
what,
like, yeah. Wow.
Wild.
I know, not everyone.
I'm not gonna believe it till I see it.
Yeah.
Like, put her in that lockdown room, put her on the season before I am like letting myself get too hyped.
So there was some drama about this because I don't know how familiar everybody is with this, but Amanda and her ex, the father of her child, there was a lot of drama between the two of them in the past year. Like, they split up, and it just, I don't even know how to describe what the drama was, but there was drama. And he actually tweeted or put it on his Instagram story or something saying like, hey, just so everyone knows, Amanda Garcia is going back on the challenge next season. So like, obviously he found out about it because someone's, you know, I'm sure he's going to be involved in watching the child while she's there. So he decided to blast that. And it seems like these spoiler people are like all pretty sure that she got the call and she should be there. So I don't know. I know she's not everybody's cup of tea, but I do enjoy Amanda, so I'm kind of happy she'll be there.
We need a personality to come on after this season, and what we've seen is you need to bring in much more personalities to make sure that the entire season is full of narrators and drama and not Casey.
Yeah,
and Ashley needs a friend.
Yes.
Also that, very much that, at least a target ahead of her. Like, Amanda is definitely someone that I've gone back and forth on overall. Like we've said, if she's a villain I'm rooting against or a personality I'm rooting for, I'm not upset that she's on the list right now.
Mm-hmm. She's like one of the only people in MTV history who has put Zach in his place. So like, that's one point in her. There's many other points on the other side.
A minor hero moment.
More than one point for me on that call.
Yeah. But we don't have to spend too much time on Amanda. She's not even here. And there's a lot of great people that are still here. But swinging back around to Big T, I don't know. I felt a little bit like there could have been more for her in her final episode of the season. Maybe they wanted to let us down a little bit easy and not throw so much of her on the screen as we're about to say goodbye to her. Kind of makes it hurt a little bit more if that happened. So, I don't know. That's just kind of how I was feeling. But Mel, final thoughts on Big T as she's on her way out here.
Ugh, I'm going to miss her. I'm going to miss her personality. I'll miss her partnership with CT, even though I'm 50-50 on how I actually feel. But anything that made Big T the star of the show, like, I'm here for it. We've talked about her on Clubhouse about how we think that she should be one of the main faces of the challenge of the future. Mm-hmm. She's just so much fun. Her smile like warms my heart. And I'm glad that she got to hold a gold skull, if but for a day or two.
Yeah, I hope it was at least two. Like,
it was at least two. They had two challenges since.
I'm just saying, like, she earned the skull. She did a great job. Everybody was so happy for her. They got back to the house and she was so pumped up, and you know, they get into the training and all that stuff, and it's like, all right, we're getting there, we're gonna get to the final, we're gonna do this. And then, you know, just to get to that elimination, and it did seem like, I think, like, am I right, Scally, that it seemed like everybody was kind of feeling like it was supposed to be Kyle versus CT?
I mean, that's at least what's hyped on the episode, and we've kind of been waiting for them to do that switcheroo. I think people said maybe it'll be a double, who knows what it's gonna be. Definitely disappointing. I would have much rather Big T be in that rogue agent instead of CT this week, but unfortunately not in the cards. So, and as far as like Big T not getting her flowers on the way out, like, I feel like we kind of gave Big T her flowers all season, and I would prefer that because I don't want people to be like sick of her coming into next season and that she has a bunch of haters, and I'm sure that like they exist, but I would rather space it out over the season, give like a good enough episode for her final, and then let's get her back on episode one through at least 16 next season too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Would love that. And yeah, I even tweeted about it this as well, because I just, like, after watching her go, I just had this moment of like, okay, yes, I come on the podcast every week, fangirl it out for Big T, and I'm going to do that anytime that she's on another episode going forward. But I just like felt like this deep appreciation for her after watching the episode. I was like, the past, you know, 4 months that this show has been on, week after week, I turn the challenge on, and I'm, even if like every week isn't exciting, I'm just happy to see Big T and her smile and her energy and her enthusiasm and her wanting to be there and do well and have success. And, you know, and during the times that she was, you know, going through it with CT, like, it was so tough to watch that because of how, you know, how seemingly like she's just such a good person. And he was, you know, we don't have to rehash all of that again, but the fact that like here we are towards the end of the game and she's like come around on kind of forgiving him and just like leaning into just wanting to focus on all the good and all the positive so that she can get herself to the end, does not end up ultimately getting to the end, but just overall such a positive presence and somebody that I'm just so happy they found and put on this show and gave a second chance after, you know, some early exits. So I'm just very grateful that she's here and, you know, hopefully not going anywhere. So that's my final spiel.
I agree. Thank the challenge gods that they saw something in the second boot of her first season.
Yes. All the other second boots out there, Liv and anybody else, are really hoping that that sentiment will, you know, give them some favors going into next season. But we'll talk about some of the other people as well. But I just quickly, let's get the challenge out of the way here. Anybody care about this challenge at all?
Oh, so boring. I'm sure like living it was like the best experience. I've watched the episode twice and both times I did not pay attention to this. It was just same. It just felt like it was uneven, and that's why you had, you know, Leroy and Casey who then got to make themselves get double points, you know, as an opportunity. It just seemed like maybe this was scheduled for a different time or like more players because of the medevacs. I don't know. I just didn't like it.
Yeah. Whether this was, I mean, the ideal situation is there's like 12 teams going at it. They each go once. Like that is by far better for this challenge. I think visually it's pretty cool. I think it has potential, but as soon as they laid out what was going to happen, first of all, way overpowered for last week's winning team to get to choose like both when everyone is going to go and for them to get to go twice, because no one's ever picking that they're not going to go twice. It was way overpowered, and like you just, you knew how it was going to play out. It was unavoidable. So it really took the stakes out of what otherwise I thought was at least visually pretty cool. So I think that if they ever wanted to do something like this again, they could, but I think hopefully they've learned when to space this one out.
Highlights for me, Fessy essentially trying to break all of Nani's bones. Not a highlight necessarily, but like Nani being like,
he's the worst.
What is wrong with you? Like, she, the regrets that she have has towards picking him as a partner could possibly be some of the most she regrets anything she's ever done in a challenge. And that's saying a lot for someone on 10 seasons.
It's just so painful. And like, I'm not even the biggest Nani fan, but I've really enjoyed the storyline development of the regret that she has in her choices and that maybe this is a bad decision. And of course, us really seeing that Fessy cares about no other partner. No one can meet his apparently like A plus level of everything perfect and that he's just a selfish player. I'm so over Fessy, and I know that guarantees he's probably back as a villain, but I don't think he wants to be a villain, and that's the problem.
He's just dumb, really dumb. And my other highlight here is about Casey and Leroy Scally getting their fifth win. I don't know about, you know, history breaking or anything like that, or history making is probably what I meant to say. I don't know the details on, you know, how high up they're climbing on, you know, most wins in a season, but I mean, it's hard to like not point out like five wins in one season for these two.
Yeah, it's definitely impressive, but when you consider that there's been 16 episodes as compared to many seasons which had like 10 in the past, that I think it is
true.
A little bit, you need to put that into perspective. So it's impressive, but like, has this been a completely dominating performance by them throughout the whole season? I would say it's not in that upper echelon.
Fair enough. I won't, you know, I'm not really like too much in their corner, too much out of it. But I mean, just, you know, love to see Leroy having any success here, especially as we get closer and closer to the final and him talking about, you know, the game he's playing and about how he's been, you know, playing even more like cutthroat than usual for himself. And then, you know, winning all these daily challenges, definitely setting himself up. If the challenge had any kind of resume building along the way to get to the end and have a jury vote, definitely, you know, he'd be putting himself in a great spot. But, you know, that's not the game we're playing here. So but just worth noting there. We had a lot in this episode with Kyle and CT, and the fact that the two of them are still on the outs. They kind of have been for a while now, Mel. So Kyle comes to CT TBT with this whole plan about now that, you know, Leroy ends up in power, let's link up and put all of our votes together, create a tie. From the start, it didn't seem like this was a plan that benefited CT in any way, unless I was misreading the situation. But obviously, we're going to see CT does not go along with it.
What was the downside?
For CT?
Yep.
So was I understanding correctly that he was saying if we tie our votes? Okay. Actually, no. Can you explain it to me then? Just to make sure, because the way that I have it in my head. Okay, you go ahead.
The thing is, it doesn't seem like they know what the consequences of tying the votes are.
Right. So,
like, are you going to throw every team on a wheel, like a sequester? Like, who knows? Like, I don't know what the consequence is. I can't imagine they wouldn't give them a heads up and say, like, if you want to flip your vote, like, now you can. But for CT, I really don't see the downside in at least tying the initial vote.
Because
both teams go in, like if it's like, oh, these two teams got the most vote, they're going in, which I don't think is the case. Probably the double agents get to decide out of the two teams that tied. And so Kyle will go in anyway, like at least force it to the tie.
So I think what I was picking up or what I had in my head was that they were hoping that whatever would happen if it tied, if by some chance, because obviously the tie would be on one of those teams, and I guess on Kyle and Amber, and then on Fessy and Nani, and he was hoping that Fessy would end up somehow getting voted in, and then knowing that Leroy is going to put in CT over Kyle to go in against Fessy, and you know, then Kyle ends up safe for the round, and I think that's what Kyle was going for, to have an even small chance,
sure,
of him being safe. So I just feel like if CT, you know, it didn't take much for CT to realize that that was what the plan was, and it didn't really benefit him much to try to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the thing is, like, are they going to put CT in necessarily? I guess probably, but yeah, I would say almost definitely. But the thing, like, I don't think it would be that the tie vote people are going in, but I don't know in what world all of a sudden it's just Fessy and Nani are going in with a tie vote. Like, who?
Yeah, I have no idea what the plan or what they were thinking, you know? There. Cam has talked a couple times about, you know, the only way to keep myself safe is, you know, throwing an extra vote here, there, making sure this isn't tied up. Like, she's talked about this all season long about different ways that she has specifically maneuvered each vote to make sure that things, you know, work out here. But Mel, what'd you make of all this?
It was a mess. I mean, Kyle's going to do anything to cover Kyle's butt, and that's it. That's what his thing last week was ultimately, like, yes, it probably would have benefited Big T to pick Fessy just to maybe give herself safety. But ultimately, that was Kyle making a move to cover himself. And the same with this week. I mean, if anything, they should have tried to focus on getting the other four to split their votes, so then they would have been able to get it ahead better. But instead, they were so set on their four, and it wasn't going to happen. I think that because they don't know the effects of ties in, like, a lot of these situations, they're all very scared to even make it happen. I'd love that for TV, and Lord knows they could use it this season, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm coming around because I'm thinking, and part of me was like, even CT flips, like, what is he gaining? And then, like, why is he even, like, lying to Kyle? Why is he taking it so far as, like, when they're out being like, yeah, us four, let's strategize in the corner of the bar rather than actually hanging out all night? Like, why not just tell him you're throwing him in? I guess you're preventing him from, like, you becoming the house vote. But if you're strategizing to get Kyle thrown in because that's who you'd rather go against, then it really doesn't matter who's the house vote. They're going to throw the other person in anyway. Like,
yep.
So that's why, like, why'd you waste everyone's time in, like, lying to him the entire day?
I did like the scene of, I gotta be honest with you. I gotta tell you the truth.
It's entertaining, but I think it's, like, a terrible move. I'm, like, exhausted by CT.
I think CT is exhausted by himself.
Yeah.
Like, when we saw at the beginning of the episode, Big T had to, like, sprinkle some sparkle on him to keep him awake.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I mean, as much as he's training her for the final, like, old man's fallen asleep at the wheel here towards, like, the end of the season. Obviously, he's kind of been playing this entire season with his back up against the wall. He's been on the out since the very beginning, since the first day. And luckily, you know, a lot of things ended up breaking his way. And, you know, just by somehow he's made it here towards the end of the game. And, you know, anytime that he has an opportunity to make any kind of small move to ensure his own safety, like what he did here, that seemed to obviously work in his favor briefly. It you know, I think you're always going to have to expect that CT is going to do that. So yeah. I don't know if this is like a lesson, a hard learned lesson for Kyle. I mean, when Casey and Leroy went into the voting room and they were like, he did it again. Like, I don't know when Kyle's going to realize that this is what CT does.
And CT's just showing up to work at this point. Right. He goes to work for 3 months, twice a year. So 6 months a year. And then he goes home. The others are more friendly now. They're all similar age. I think what CT needs is a little break on the All-Stars where they're his age. They're the people he actually has friendships with and likes.
If that. Were any of the All-Stars at his wedding? I feel like it was all like Kara and Wes and I don't even remember who was there.
I don't think any of them were.
I don't know.
So he's screwed no matter what then.
Maybe. But whatever. So yeah, that ended up, you know, all going down with Kyle ending up getting the votes, or Kyle and Amber getting the votes. Should we talk a little bit about Amber and Casey here? We saw at the beginning of the episode that Casey was like hyping Amber up, like, oh, you're like the rookie of the year. Like, look at you. You're still in the game. We're at the final 10. Obviously, Amber has been in the Big Brother Alliance all season long. And now that we're here at the end, she's looking at them like, so, like, it's us to the end, right? Like, I know I have Kyle, but like, the Big Brother group is working together. So obviously, we got to, you know, anybody that's not part of this. And it's like, I mean, who's not part of it at this point? Like, Cam and Corey? Yeah, Cam and Corey are totally going to be thrown to the wolves by Leroy to, you know, save the Big Brother Alliance. And I mean, no, it's obviously not going to be that way. And Fessy even made a comment about like, oh, you know, we're at the end and now Amber's like, you know, looking to us who carried her all season. I'm like, okay, now you're all just annoying me. Scally, what'd you make of all this?
Well, first, if only anyone could have seen this coming, that Amber should have gone with the rookie women over the Big Brother Alliance, but it was just such a blindside that this was like, what did she think?
I don't know.
Like, you've never met any of these people before showing up on day one, and they have like pretty solid alliances. So like, yeah, sure, work with them as long as you can, but they're a lot stronger, at least from what we've seen. They are proven like challenge competitors in Casey and Fessy, as opposed to like the rookie women who pretty solid. Like, they ran a good like half of the season, not ran, but like put up a good fight for half of the season, and probably would have been much more like on Amber's level, at least in terms of experience. So like, I think it's just even more obvious that she made the wrong choice here, and really should have seen this coming.
She played it safe. She hid behind Big Brother, and she should have gotten like a little hint of what was going to happen, because they never had Lolo's back. And if Lolo was considered sort of part of Big Brother, like, eventually you're going to get sacrificed. And I think Casey summarized perfectly what killed the season, which is, she was like, in Big Brother, you get a group together and you stick together to the end no matter what. And that's what they did this season. And yes, it worked, but my God, is it awful television for us fans.
Yeah, I mean, as far as Amber's game goes here, where she is in the final 10, like, you can't knock the fact that she made it here, riding off, you know, the Big Brother crew, working with them all the way throughout. You know, she had a good partner all the way, you know, throughout, and then got really lucky in that one spot with him actually going home and, you know, kind of giving her that week of safety. So the fact that she's here at all, I'm generally glad that she went into that elimination being like, you know, it's fine. Like, I'm here. I'm, you know, a little annoyed about it. The fact that, you know, Casey ended up voting her in when she, you know, was hoping that that would not have been the case. But when she got down there, she seemed to be in good spirits and was ready to go, you know, fight to keep her skull. I mean, after all, she is a rookie. There is always going to be the sentiment on the challenge of like, the rookies are the ones that are kind of have to earn their way to the end, even more so than anybody else. And I was like, you know, Fessy, you literally are in your second season, so relax over there. But I don't know. I was satisfied with the way that everything was shaking out on that end of things. And ultimately, obviously, she got a win over Big T in the elimination, gets to keep her skull. So, you know, her life is doing just fine right now.
It's doing fine, but I just am like, sure. But still, look at the competition that she's up against going into at the end. Like, are you telling, like, not are you telling me, but like, I
are
cannot
you telling me?
I cannot imagine a scenario in which, like, Amber votes in Anissa and Fessy instead of Amber M that week. And if she makes it this far, is not in like a better winning position moving forward. It just seems like save Amber for another week. Like, yeah, you got to go against her that week, so like, things worked out well, but like, either Anissa or Fessy goes home, the power structure is broken up even more, and like, we don't potentially have this like presumed final few eliminations with how like they've just have a stranglehold on the house at this point.
I did appreciate Amber, at least her choosing of Fessy is like a spite move, which is if you're going to keep saying my name, you're going to have to pick your own name too. And I liked that bit of spite. That said, that is maybe the most personality and fire I've seen for the season. And if she wins, good on her. If she gets to the finals, good on her. But like, is she on the top of my callback list? Definitely not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't dislike her. Like, I think she's perfectly fine to like, I like her, but yeah. I'm not, you know, if she were to have gone home in week three or, you know, to come in second place, like they're all equal for me basically with Amber. And like, that's cool. I'm glad she got her second chance. I think she's played well enough, but I haven't been overly impressed.
And she, you know, kind of feels like a, you know, somebody that they're not going to lose her number. After this season, they're going to be like, oh, let's see if she's around. And if they need to fill in a last minute spot, if they have people on the line and that, you know, whoever it is planning on being there, but then Cam or I don't know, I don't want to use Cam as an example. Somebody backs out at the last second and then they're like, oh, Amber, come on in. Like quarantines like for Big Brother 21 and then ends up not going or 22, whatever. Who cares?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think she's in the mix, but not like at the top of the list by any mean, at least at this point.
Mel, you brought up the partner swap, and we might as well just get to it now because that was my favorite part of the episode. It was like the first part of the episode that I felt like emotion from these people, something that like was worthwhile television, in a sense of like Amber, you know, like you said, having that moment where she was like, you're coming down here, Fessy. Like, if you want to start saying my name, you're going to be stuck with me. And if you say it again, it's going to be your ass on the line. So let's do this. And then Nani as well, made that moment a lot of fun. I was like, I felt bad for Kyle because I would have rather to see Kyle, move to the next stage with the safety of being a rogue agent than CT, but Nani made that moment very funny. So I don't know. I just appreciated that whole like 5 minutes.
How about Fessy slowly closing his eyes in a face of disgust, like, and then he'll go on Twitter and brag about like, look how many people pick me, it's because I'm so great. And it's like, just take it and move along. Like, you're getting probably to the finals, hopefully you gas out so we can all laugh at you. Like, just sit down. I know I was not on last week's pod to talk about this, but just like the disrespect to the history of the challenge that Fessy has drives me crazy. Like, watch an episode, understand anything, and then you can talk about how high and mighty you are. But actually don't talk at all.
And the problem is he's going to watch like All Stars and be like, see, this is what I'm talking about. Like, Fessy is a good villain for me personally. I know not everyone likes that. But he needs to get knocked down a peg, ideally one or two at least.
He just doesn't think he's the villain, I think, though. I think that's his problem, is I think he still views himself as a hero, or at least like, I'm a good guy, give me your spawn con, and doesn't want to fall into the role of villain. And like, embrace it, because it's going to get you airtime and it's going to for sure guarantee you a callback, even if you're great physically. Like, eventually your time is up on the show.
But, I mean, you know, the best villains are ones that are self-aware and know that they're villains and are trying to be villains. Next best is like, they're villains in the game, but still think they're the hero. And then we get into like, they're doing bad things. And then it's like doing, you know, abysmal things. So I think Fessy is like in that second tier where he is not like an actively bad villain. And I feel like we are a little short on villains on the challenge these days. So that's why I don't mind him as much as some other people do.
Yeah, I don't know. He's just, I think his whole thing in general is like, he knows that he is good athletically and he knows that he can take anybody in so many of these different competitions or whatever. So that's just what he focuses on at all times. And I wish that like, not that I want people to be like producing their story on TV or anything like that, but people that are on this show for so many seasons are aware of the cameras. They're aware of, you know, what is worthwhile to sometimes like poke a fight about. Like, if he was actually going for that with the CT thing, then I would have been like, oh, this is fun. He's giving some entertainment, but that wasn't what he was doing. It's just, that's just,
it was him a compliment. It was a compliment.
So I don't know, just if he was a little bit more, and I'm asking a lot for Fessy to be self-aware, but if that were the case, I think that I would enjoy, you know, having him around even slightly. For now I'm just like, whatever, he's there and I will live with it. So that's just that.
I also liked Nani in the partner switch when she's picking and she picks Kyle. She justifies it with like, I want to like I have fun and win. I want to have fun just as much as I want to win. It was like, for 15 episodes, you told us you don't want to be with Kyle because he doesn't take this seriously.
That's a good point.
Like, what? What do you mean?
Now
like,
she wants to have fun.
Like, oh, I'm Fessy was such like a fun suck that she is like desperate for fun at this point, I guess. So, I mean, I don't know. Sure, Nani. Whatever.
I know. It's like, we're at the final. Like, you're about to get to, you know, the final. Like, and this elimination does that. Well, I think we're safe to assume at this point that these four women left are probably in the final, right? Because they can't do. Are they possibly going to do like another round of eliminations after the next guy goes?
Can't imagine it.
So I mean,
I just feel like we're dragging so far that it is very possible.
No way.
Just so long. I heard the reunion is like the last week of the month. That's three episodes before the reunion.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, maybe a men's elimination or a women's elimination. No, I mean, there's a women's elimination, not a no. There's a men's elimination and then maybe like a double so that you have three teams in the final. But that's I don't know. I feel like maybe they'll stretch that final out two or three episodes, which I hope not either. But I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, next week will be a very important night for the women to watch their partners. So we will keep an eye on that when that comes up. What else have we not gotten to here? I have a couple notes from the deliberation of just when CT like stood up to Kyle, not stood up to him, like that sounds dramatic. Like when he kind of like shut down everything that was happening there. I know that they were talking about having some kind of like stage thing happen between the two of them, but I don't know. It just felt like once, you know, they got there, CT was not down with the plan. As we saw, he decided to break the vote there. And then when we got into the voting, he's like, you know, nobody can trust Kyle. I'm not playing this BS. So I don't know. Anything else there, Scally?
Not at the deliberation for me. In the episode, I guess we can talk about trading up, trading down, but that's all I have left.
Trading up, trading down. Refresh my memory.
In terms of partner switch, you know, bringing that back. Amber goes ahead and trades the partner. Was it the right move?
I don't know. Was it the right move?
I think, yeah. getting a more capable guy who is much more capable, who's much more well-connected. So unequivocally, I think yes. And CT's probably better off having safety, sadly, over having Big T. So I think almost everyone, except for... would I say that Nani or Amber is a preferable partner for Kyle? I mean, at least Nani's connected, but.
And they've worked together before, so they know that they have a rhythm and a banter in a way that they can get along, and they're not starting from scratch as partners like Fessy and Amber will be doing.
Okay, but did you guys not know that Amber played rugby? So.
Oh my God.
We could start putting some more respect there, please. I feel like I've heard about Amber playing rugby like 3 or 4 times in the season, and that's like way more than I would have ever expected to hear about it. But I don't know. Maybe the final has a rugby challenge.
Corey has kids. Amber has rugby. There we all go. Have one thing in life.
I was going to say.
One defining trait.
Was Cook a rugby player?
That does sound familiar.
I don't remember if she was rugby or soccer, but like Amber B, the next Cook. Like you heard it here first.
So Amber B will be an alternate on the Challenge All-Stars 25.
Sure. Like I'd rather it than on the next season.
Have you guys seen all of the pictures of the alternates and everything?
Not all of them. I've seen a couple posts.
Yeah, just I mean, Scally, have you seen every single picture that has been posted on the internet by those five people?
If
not, we will move on without you. They've been posting a lot of pictures. So just to remind everybody, off the top of my head, right? So it's Ryan Kehoe, Kahuta, Cook, Sophia, and nope, I lost the last one.
Wow, Casey Cooper.
Casey Cooper, I'm so sorry. To the legend, Casey Cooper. So the five of them that were the alternates, they did not seemingly make it onto the season, as we saw the premiere episode. They posted some pictures of how they spent their time while they were, you know, I guess after they quarantined and whatever. So there's that. And also, like, the cast of All Stars has been posting so many pictures of everything there. Like, this is maybe the fact that they're on Paramount Plus and it's not, you know, on MTV or whatever. It's just been strange to see as all of the social media stuff that they've been able to post.
Yeah, I'm wondering because they definitely like took a ton of pictures. They like brought their own cameras or, you know, probably like big shoulder video cameras with them back in the day. But
Scally.
I guess maybe they were allowed to do that again here, and it's cool seeing. I like the old school vibe.
Yeah.
Maybe they brought the cameras that they won back on those old challenges.
I think that's right.
Like a Fujifilm 1000 or something.
Yeah, that they were willing to kill each other over. Yes.
Yeah. Somebody's got to be recording this on, you know, some kind of tape that probably is going to run out of memory after 30 minutes. So
I'm using a Zoom. I use a Zoom to do these podcasts.
Oh.
Yes. So, you know. Well, let's wrap up the episode here. The elimination was Big T and Amber Hall Brawl. Obviously, they're reusing all these eliminations. So Hall Brawl again, Amber B getting a second run for the Hall Brawl here. Big T was doing her best there. Amber was obviously doing a little bit better, unfortunately, for us Big T stands. So she ends up getting the win 2-0. CT talking about how Big T is one of the most memorable partners he's ever had. And Big T seemed overall pretty appreciative of her time with CT, how he was like there for her at her lowest points and, you know, pushed her. And, you know, I don't know, just overall, she seemed to be in a good place with him leaving. So I won't touch that any more than I need to, because if she's fine, everybody does seem okay there. Whatever. Okay. That's the way that Big T is going to head out of here, Mel.
If Big T's happy, then I'm happy. And I think Big T did on the brawl part of it. I thought Big T did a pretty decent job. Ultimately, what it came down to is she is not a runner. We should have known. Did you guys notice how white her tennis shoes were when she like exercised? Like never touched dirt, never touched grass. Like, and you know, Amber was just a little faster. And I love the montage. It was nice to see them practice together. At least CT like tried. Whatever like issues I've had with their partnership, like it did seem like he was really putting in an effort to help her get as far as she could. Even though if Big T got to the final, I'm not super confident she would have finished. I'm being real, but I still love her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She did decent enough. I don't think it was like an amazing performance in Hall Brawl, but probably better than other people would have expected. So
better
I think
than Amber M.
Yeah, I think she could have beat Amber M that night and probably should have asked to go down there. But I, you know, Big T, like CT said, she can train. I know she has been all over Instagram stories. So excited to see Big T's future for sure.
And as far as CT goes, he feels like he's probably right, that he's in the final. He had that confessional, give me all the money, give me all the money.
I would think so at this point.
Yeah. So, I mean, does feel stupid to let CT get to a final, but that's where we're at. So we'll see who's going to join him or, you know, whatever ends up playing out next week. Oh, and my final comment was, I really, really thought that was cool what they did with the Hall Brawl, the video effects on the walls there. I don't know. I don't know what I was even trying to get out of it. Like, I don't know what they were trying to show me with, like, when they had the Hall Brawl and, you know, we're looking at Amber and on the left side, we had clips of Amber getting into it on, one of her eliminations or whatever it was. And then on the right side, it was Big T's, footage. And I was like, I mean, I can't even see what you're showing me, but I still thought it was cool.
Yeah, it was solid.
Yeah,
the show's good about stuff like that.
So that is my final comments on the episode. Anybody have anything else here, or are we ready to talk All-Stars?
Challenge All-Stars, challenge All-Stars.
All-Stars!
All right, so that's it for today. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Dom and Colin podcast. that's all we have. Well, truly, if anybody is bouncing out here, I really don't think that you should. Although I would say I do think that you should if you have not yet watched the premiere episode of the Challenge All-Stars. If you are hesitant to watch because for any reason at all, if you think, I don't know these people, this isn't going to be fun for me, this is going to be fun for you. You will get to know these people in, you know, throughout the clips and everything. Just watch it. Watch along with us. We'll fill in the gaps that, you know, need to be filled in. This is only going to be 9 episodes. It's already a super fun premiere. So if you are bouncing out, then fine, whatever. Follow us on Twitter at Matt Ligori, at Brian_Scally, at Mel Got Served, and you know, whatever. Otherwise,
don't bounce out. Don't. Like I just want to like it, watching, and I don't think many people will be. I feel like people are gonna jump in on this, but even if you don't know these people, like it is so interesting to have a cast of mostly 40 to 50-year-olds like on TV and just like big personalities. They're willing to like actually compete for this money, and that's something we get on literally no other show, giving the casting pool. So even if you don't know them, I think just that alone is interesting enough to hook you.
And once upon a time, we did not know who Big T was. And now look at that's all we talk about is Big T. So just think of it that way. These are for all the shows you didn't watch. And then you can go back and watch a lot of them on Paramount Plus. And then you can get your money's worth of that subscription.
Mm-hmm. So, oh wait, I was about to get into All-Stars. Okay, challenge 36 draft update real quick. Not a whole lot changing. Scally in first place, 64 points. Me, 51 points right behind. Then Colin with 29, Haley with 24. Must lose draft with Allie and Brian. Not much changed there. Actually, nothing changed there. Allie lost a point for Amber winning, and then Brian gained a point for Big T losing. So, it's the exact same score that we were at last week, right? So that's right. That. Mel, Challenge All-Stars, describe to me the feeling as you sat down to watch this episode and saw these legends of the game and Big Easy getting off the bus.
Oh, I felt transported in time. I felt like a television hug to see these people that I grew up with that, quite frankly, some of them I'm not even that far apart in age that I had no idea. Like, it was so awesome to see all these people back that we saw on the challenge. It just was a great episode.
Yes. I had so much fun. I had to wake up early to watch this before work. Otherwise I would have like waited all day. So I was more than happy to set the alarms a little bit earlier in the day. Scally, I was feeling, I think I tweeted this, it was so early in the morning. I honestly could have not. And I just don't remember, that this is like, it gave me feelings of like watching Winners at War, Survivor Winners at War, like that first episode, that hype, that excitement of just like, these are like legends returning to play, and a couple of people that maybe aren't legends, but you know, whatever. Just people that you never would have expected to see back on your screen again. And seeing this at the beginning, like it was in the premiere of Winners at War, obviously before we knew some of the disappointment that was to come that season, hopefully not this season for the challenge, but just that's how I felt.
As a reminder, you don't have to be a champ to be legendary.
Exactly.
I was trying to think of why did I not feel quite as hyped for this season as I was for Winners at War. And I think ultimately it's just not as many of our friends, people in our community, watch the challenge as have watched Survivor for all, you know, the entire run. So I think that was what it came down to, because as soon as I put this on, like, I'm bouncing up and down in my chair on my second watch and I already want to watch it for a third time. Like, I'm so excited to have these people back. I can't believe it's only 9 episodes, especially at the pace they're going. So I want season 2 already, start filming season 3. Like, I'm ready. Like, I'm very, very, very excited.
And from the word on the street, it does seem like it was a success. Like, they were, you know, maybe going to do a season, like, not, it seems like it's not anywhere near out of the question that season 2 could be happening. Who knows when? I don't know if they're going to end up on like a Drag Race cycle of like filming the main season All-Stars. I would be here for it. I just have no idea what their plan is at this point. But yeah, these legends showed up. They, came in here, hopping off the bus and going to meet up with TJ. I definitely think it's worthwhile having TJ as the host here. Oh, my cat is losing her mind. I don't know if you're gonna hear that. Worthwhile to have TJ as the host here. It just made it feel more real and authentic than if like the Miz showed up.
Agreed. And also seeing TJ in some unusual color choices after, you know, the dark color palette of Double Agents, we've got TJ in like pink and a vest. It was different. I don't know how to feel.
It was very casual.
Yep, I think that's fair. I think this is a more casual season, where like it should have like the, you know, grand feeling, but I think it being on Paramount Plus, it being 9 episodes, I think it's tiny bit of a smaller cast, a little more casual.
Look, they knew what they were doing. They started this off with a Katie Doyle entrance right off the gate. She tells us, you know, last time you saw me, cutthroat, I had 2 black eyes. Now I'm a mom, I'm more laid back. You know, I come to this game, I've got my social game, and that's usually how I get far, and I think I'm pretty good at it. And I was like, Katie, whatever, I'm here for whatever you bring to the season. Hopefully you walk away with less black eyes than you had last time. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what we get from Katie here. It was a little quiet in this first episode. I know Scally doesn't watch many trailers, but it does seem like we'll get more Katie in future episodes, so I'm excited for that. Katie, Mark Long, Alton, Ysella, Cyrus, Trishelle, you know, just the confessionals, the entrances kept coming back to back, and it was just so much fun.
What a blast. Just first of all, Hisello getting off she's just like dressed to the nines and then slips off bus. Like, it cracked me up. Like, what a star of the episode, an unexpected delight, especially because for anybody who listens to the draft, we all had her very low. We weren't sure. And like, it was so great to see like people who delighted you that we didn't expect. There are a lot of big names in the crowd. You know, Beth didn't let us down. We got to see Darrell swearing, but to be delighted by people like Hisela, Tech, I cannot stop smiling when Tech is on my screen. Like, I'm obsessed. And that's what I loved about this, like, the series.
Yeah, it was so funny because, like, most of the other people, like, Katie, huge name, like, Mark, 6'3", 220, like, Alton, like, everyone here is, like, legend, physically opposing. And, like, you can't not show falling down the stairs on the bus. So Hisela comes out, and I was like, and they show her, like, throwing an elimination back in the day. I was like, oh, no, like, this is not going to go well. And I put, like, personality, like, through the roof, like, so happy she's here. And, you know, like, anyone that doesn't know these people, I don't know Hisela very particularly well. And already I'm, like, in love and cannot wait for her on every episode. So to see, jumping ahead, that she does pretty well this episode, like, everything is, you know, coming out so well, even just in these, like, initial walk-ins.
Yeah, I mean, they just, and just, again, in case anybody doesn't know these people, if you're listening along with us and you're not watching, or if maybe you'll watch later, I don't know, whatever you end up doing. I obviously, the challenge has always done this, but, like, they're especially doing it here of, like, showing us old clips to remind us of who these people are. Just to be like, this is something this person's memorable for. On their chyron, the lower third, whatever you call it, it says, you know, for each person of a successful, pretty much their most successful challenge. Like, Jemmy's is like a finalist on Rivals 2. It's like, yeah, that's probably the best she's done. And, you know, even though that was like her first season or maybe second, I don't know. They're pointing out to you things that you should know about these people, and anything that you need to know, they're going to tell you along the way. If it's not important, then, you know, you can go back and rewatch all the seasons at some point when you have the time. It's a fun activity. So, yeah. But TJ welcomes everybody back. The best of the best, the legends. You guys started this thing and made it what it is today. You know, you have past relationships that could help you or they could hurt you. It's an individual game. Sometimes you'll be in teams, sometimes not. But there's only one winner, Scally, for $500,000. This thing is real.
This is the one disappointing thing about the season for me, is that there is one winner. I am really hoping that they gender balance this final.
Yeah, other that's than a that, great point. That's a great point.
Yeah.
Because I love the free agents aspect of it. Like, and I love that they're going to be in teams sometimes, they're going to be alone. I think that makes a lot of different implications. But yeah, the more I thought on the 500K, I realized, like, oh, this could be tricky.
I would much rather have a male and female winner here. But other than that, like, they're treating this, it's a real challenge. I know it seems like some of these people even thought they were showing up for a real challenge almost. So everything's good. I like, we get Jemmy highlighting that, like, when these people started showing up, like, it was adult summer camp. It wasn't that serious. And so for these people to come in and get, like, a real challenge welcome as it is in 2021, I think that was definitely probably a wake up call for a few, but, like, cool to see.
Yeah, the stories have been out there. Maybe she did, like, an interview or something, Trishelle. Like, I saw tweets about this, about how she was like, I really thought I was going out for, like, some kind of real world reunion kind of thing. Like, she did not realize what this was about to be. We saw it in the first challenge. She's like, you know, going out there for the swim. She's like, I thought we were going to be sipping cocktails by the pool. And we even got her opening confessional. She's like, you know, last time I quit, I'm 50-50 challenge badass and challenge quitter. I'm like, why are you telling us that? Are you going to quit? Like, are you really not enjoying your time? I'm here. I don't want to see it, but the red flags are there for you.
Not happy for my draft team on that quote. So, yeah.
But I think this is all just very exciting as we were getting everything set up here. The house decorations, super nice. It looked really nice in there with the relics, the helmets, the quotes, the names on the wall. Like,
how many personalizations do they have? I have a Cricut machine where you can make, like, decals and stuff, and I feel like someone got one and was like, let's cut and put people's names on every single item in this house.
Yeah.
The quote of Beth's, I don't kiss ass, I kick ass. And if you're not care, if you don't watch it, I'll kick your ass. Like, so good. We don't have basically anyone on the challenge now that could deliver a quote like that. Like, it's so funny, it's quick, it's easy. Like, I'm that it shows me, like, even when they're like going through, like, I was on this season, like, I there's my name, like, they're all like so animated and fun. Like, it's already just like it's like the premiere of, like you said, Winners at War or anything else like that.
Guys, we are sitting here podcasting about a 2021 reality show where Beth is back competing.
Oh my god. It makes me just like more like, okay, they better be doing Real World Los Angeles Homecoming. Like, mm-hmm. I need more Beth, and I cannot believe I'm saying that. I guess it just took me maturity and age to realize what an asset Beth is.
I've always thought about that with like how many people that I watch on reality TV, like however many years ago when I was like a child sneaking these shows and thought they were the villains. And now I know I should be standing. Like, yeah. I'm so glad that people are getting to be reintroduced to Beth.
And she had a fun moment when she was getting into the house and she's looking around. She talked about this a bit on the after show that like the rooming situation was just as, you know, as it always is. Everybody kind of strategically trying to pick out what room they're going to go to. Beth thought that she was going to end up having her tenderoni in her room with her, but I guess Nehemiah found a different room, but she was still trying tenderoni, and he's like, oh my god, I cannot believe this is happening again.
And Alton was like, isn't she married?
He's like, yep, doesn't matter, she's not gonna leave me alone.
It's funny because he said that like that's all he gets remembered for, and that is definitely what we talked about in the draft about Nehemiah. Was tenderoni.
I would say it's the number one thing that came to mind for me for Nehemiah, so sad that he feels that way, but it definitely is very iconic.
I have a number two, and that's when they did the trivia challenge where they buried people alive and he couldn't answer like any questions correctly, and his team was like panicking beneath the sand. So two real stellar moments for him. But I am very excited. I think Nehemiah is in an ideal position strategically right now. I think physically he's in a really good spot too, and I think that these people are more in his like wavelength of mind, because I think he was always a bit mature for everybody, a little more spiritual than like when he was in his 20s with these party hardy people. So I think this is better for him.
Yeah, and Scally, I know we talked about this, I think, last week, and I think it was confirmed to us on Twitter that Nehemiah is still, you know, for 2008 is when he got his win, the last black winner to win on the show here. So the fact that now he is back again, you know, we have to have that issue corrected, whether it's on the main challenge or here. It's just overall crazy that he's back. Very excited to see him. I was more excited to see him than I expected that I was going to be. So I'm just glad he's here. Glad he's got Beth there as well, because that was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's someone that I feel like I didn't appreciate as much as I would on a rewatch in my first watch. Mm-hmm. So I am excited for Nehemiah more so than I would have thought I would have been, you know, a couple of years ago looking back. So, and I feel like he definitely delivered in this first episode, joking around about how he's going to be hiding from Beth and stuff like that. Like, I look forward to the dynamics of Nehemiah and many people in this house.
Yes. Also, quick note, because we talked about Jemmy already, but did we, I don't know if we knew or if we have known about this, we didn't talk about it on the podcast, that Tina was scheduled to be on this season.
Ugh,
and Jemmy was like her
that.
Last minute replacement.
Yeah, I heard Tina had COVID and didn't make the cut, which is such a bummer. Yeah.
Damn, I knew her name was like thrown out there. I didn't know Jemmy was the last minute replacement. There's a couple names on the list that I would have maybe cut over Jemmy. Maybe one.
Well, because they definitely were going for the OG, you know, aspect of things. And I guess when they got to the later stages of the game and, you know, people started not being able to make it, I guess they kind of were like, all right, let's open, you know, pull it back a little bit.
Gotcha. So who did John A replace?
Yeah, I don't know.
My question.
I do not know. If we ever find out, we'll report back. In the house, they were all talking about their ages. Obviously, you know, that's a common topic around the whole episode and around this whole cast. A lot of them are on the older side. It's been a while since they've been around. Yes, and Ace and Kendall were in the room talking about how Kendall's 40 and they could not believe it. And then we heard a little bit from Ace talking about how there's shady shit happening around here. I don't know.
Oh, Ace, you sweet son of a gun.
Yeah, I like he immediately flags up like, these people would kill each other over a scooter back in the day. So $500,000, like they're going to be willing to do anything. And it's nice that he recognized that. I wish that he had acted on that knowledge before, you know, the deliberation. But It was like immediately endearing. I love Ace. I know that not everyone is like was as hyped for him, but we'll talk more about him later. But I was, you know, absolutely stoked to see him here.
Yeah, we can talk about him more later for sure when we get to the elimination and what's going to come later. But I just I'm curious, like when you were, you know, telling me your thoughts as you were going through the episode, I was like, I just want to save this for the podcast. I'm curious where the Ace love came from, because I just don't remember much about him. I don't know if maybe there was just more going on with him at the time that the season was airing originally, and obviously I wasn't watching that live. Just, I don't know. I feel like I need more of the backstory of the Ace fandom.
I just find Ace to be kind of a, not like a so out of the box personality on the show, but he just is like super genuine, super kind. I have not found, you know, I've looked online for disqualifying facts. I have not found any yet. So I feel pretty decent about, like, I always liked him. I liked him on The Real World. I liked him on The Challenge. I felt like he always kind of got a little bit screwed. Like he said, like, he wasn't going to take it as hard as other people. He was a little bit of like a frat party boy, but like still super nice and super genuine, whereas like a lot of the other people had a rougher edge. He was always on like the good guys teams in the Inferno challenges. I just always found him like funny and sweet and endearing, and like I feel like that translated, you know, he's the same person however many years later. He's not like the best personality on TV, but I found him like incredibly rootable.
It's just so funny to me to like go from like, we all see why Big T shines and why we stan her so hard. And I was like, I felt that energy coming from you of like the disappointment, like kind of being almost similar to the losing Big T and to losing Ace here as well. I was like, oh, wow, this guy is something special, this galley.
Well,
oh, but I felt the same too. And I was not his teammates. I was really bummed that someone was going to have to go home this episode. Yeah, like, that's what I felt. I really wanted more time with everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, and it could have been anyone, but we'll just get it, like, you know, we'll jump around, but just to have anyone go home so quickly after waiting to see them back on TV for 15 years, just like, you know, some of the people that went home early in Winners of War, like, it was so disappointing, because, like, I'm going to see Big T back on TV in 4 months, probably. I may never see Ace again.
But I wouldn't count out that, like, some of these people could easily be back on All-Stars, too.
Sure, and I'm hoping that they go to the first boot of All-Stars 1 to bring him back, but I'm not super confident. I think that he is, like, an obvious person. Like, he was a decently big name for, again, not doing super, super well in the challenges, but someone that I would definitely like to see again, and I am just, you know, a little bummed that it didn't last as long as I wanted this time, and probably will negatively impact his chances of coming back again in the future.
Right. All right, let's get to the challenge here. The first challenge for some of these people in 18 years, in 5 years, in 15 years, whatever it was, for all these people in the layoff that they had. We are going to get to the first challenge. It's Deep Blue Dive. It's two teams of 11 randomly selected. They have to go out to the, you know, go out in the water, grab puzzle pieces that correspond with some math equations back at the base for each team. They have to go out and get a piece. Everybody has to get one no matter what. You have to at least try. And if you can't bring a piece back, you get a 5-minute penalty. So lots of elements going into this challenge. But Mel, the main idea here that we were seeing is the best of the best were really struggling to get through this challenge. They might have expected that, you know, for this season filled with some older people, that the challenge people, the producers would have gone a little easy on them. Quickly learned that that was not the case.
Yeah, I was surprised at how hard this first challenge was. And I watched the after show, which is also on Paramount Plus. And Derek had said, this is the hardest challenge he has ever done, like this first actual challenge. I think the water must have been extremely cold. Where are they filming? Do either of you remember? For some reason, I thought we just said Argentina, but this does not seem like Argentina.
I knew the answer when we did the draft, and I don't remember it now.
It's definitely cold. They froze up. I mean, I don't know if I could do it either, but I did think, like, I guess this was, I'm on like both sides of it. Of, like, it was a really good reality check for everybody to be like, no, this is what you're signing up for. But on the other hand, I was also like, this is a little too tough for these people. I thought just the math was going to be hard for most of them, because that's usually the challenge hold up, not a challenge of getting the blocks. But I did tally how many penalty horns I heard.
Okay.
Oh, how many?
It's actually a lot lower than I thought. I counted 14.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some we didn't see there too.
Yeah, like they didn't sound a horn for Anissa one of the times, and she definitely was out. So like I think there was much more, because I was curious like how long the actual time would have been and how long it like even it took to do it, which they did not reveal. It was tough, but it was entertaining and had some real surprises, both positively and negatively.
Yeah. Scally, any thoughts about the captain picking and the whole situation with captains?
I was surprised people were so ready to step up as captains. It seemed like people who, in general, I feel like one side, it was people who were like, I'm here for a good time, like in Tech and Gisella. And
Tech said, wait, can we swear? Because Tech was just like,
of course.
Tech's just like, yeah, fuck it, I'll do it. Like, what I needed. He's going to die in a hall brawl. I just want to put that out there.
Oh. Yeah, he's gonna snap. And so like if anyone needed immunity, I guess maybe that was probably good that Tech got that one, because I don't want to see Tech in a pole wrestle against Letarian or anyone for the most part. But I think that it seemed like that was the motivation on one side, and on the other side it was like Letarian has something to prove, and Kellyanne had generally been one of the more capable women on seasons that she's been on in the past, let alone when she is about 10 years younger than many of the contestants that she is up against here. So it seemed to be varying strategies on both sides.
Yeah. I have in my notes every time Letarian comes up LT, because I think Yes called him that later in the episode. And I was like, a lot easier to type that out than try to remember how many T's and R's there are in Letarian. But yeah, so he ended up volunteering. Anissa was like, I'm not doing that. Which, I mean, Anissa has been playing the game since season 36. Like, I mean, she's been playing the game since like 2006, but like she's still in game mode. She like never turned it off. She was out there filming Double Agents, came home, did the podcast, has literally been on for all these months now. So like the second that this game started, you're like, all right, she's already, you know, paying attention to every single part of the strategy here. So she's like, I'm not doing this. I know there's like consequences to being involved with this. So luckily Kellyanne stepped up. She's like, I put up with so much crap on this show. I'm like, no one made you do this, but okay.
Oh, Kellyanne. I'm interested to have her back. Like, this is not what I expected out of Kellyanne. I feel like this is a pretty different, at least, like, I feel like Kellyanne is not fully the same, at least from what we've seen, even when we just saw her on what? She was on Bloodlines and then maybe one more season. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm interested to see who she is now.
She's the formidable wild card.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that was her all along, but you know, I'm definitely interested to see how she gets along with this group where she probably doesn't know most of them.
Yeah. I mean, I picked her second overall in my draft team just because, you know, I expect that she's on the, well, not expect, I know she's on the younger side of things here, and I just kind of think that she'll be fine for the most part. So, I don't know. I don't have like high expectations for her, but I just feel like, you know, when I was looking at the board, I was like, all right, who is going to get to the final and actually have a fighting chance? So, you know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. For my draft team, I'm hoping for Kellyanne's success. But I mean, yeah, I mean, we could recap every single person that fell and failed here if we want to. But we can also look at the people who did well in this challenge. Obviously, Yes was killing it on the math side of things. He talks about how it's been 18 years for him. Now he's an architect, a husband, a father. So he's got all that going on. And
he's a challenge daddy, as you guys called Kyle a couple episodes ago.
He is.
There's a lot of challenge daddy. This season
a lot of challenge daddies
on Twitter was real.
Yeah, let's say like I didn't recognize Kellyanne, but I will tell you that Yes has held up like the finest of wines.
He looks identical to the picture of him from 18 years ago.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Colin Stone is a big fan of pointing out people that look like they don't age, so I'm sure he agrees with that sentiment. But yeah, and then Gisella was also, you know, doing extremely well, ended up getting two blocks for her team. She's like, I'm going into mommy mode, which I guess just involves like going out there and like getting the job done, you know, regardless of how much everybody doesn't want to seem to do it. So yeah, the two of them led the way and even got some credit from TJ at the end of the challenge after all was said and done for a job well done.
Yeah.
She also had said that she was taking care of people on the sides, like while they were like in hypothermia, she would take care of them kind of mom style too. Like she was a real, like I would give her my MVP of the episode. Her and Yes are my top two, but like I had pretty low expectations of Hissela, if I'm being very honest. Like, she didn't really enjoy it back in the day. Like, why come back now? But she had a plan. She had a strategy, and it was like really respected, and not to mention just her confessional game. Like, couldn't have had a better premiere than Hissela.
Yeah, I agree. Super exciting to see her do well. Maybe she's like even better set up here than she used to be back in the day. So that would be nice. But even on this challenge as a whole, I feel like this challenge is better than, you know, 90% of the challenges we got on season 36. Like, I didn't expect that it was that hard, according to Derek. Obviously, it was difficult, but I thought, you know, maybe it's cold, maybe it's whatever, but I guess, you know, it apparently was near impossible for most people. But it just, even if this was like, I don't know, bring them in closer, the water's a couple degrees warmer, like, this is what I want. I want something basic, looks pretty cool, but like doable and like fun, easily trackable. So big ups on this challenge. I like this one a lot.
And you could do mistakes. That's what was fun too, of like not knowing the difference between copper and silver.
And it was just so good because they also used it in, from like a television perspective of like intersplicing the, you know, confessionals of people setting up like who they are, what they are, like jokes about each other. Anissa being like, oh, Alton's got a 12 pack now. Or maybe he always did. But, you know, just kind of keeping it all together here at the beginning of this episode. So I don't know. Overall, definitely enjoyed it a lot. There were a couple of, you know, fails that I guess we should point out. Arissa didn't seem to do very well in the water. She got some bad cramps and she was like hobbling out of the water. Obviously just did not look very good there. And, you know, luckily they warmed her up eventually, but she wasn't enjoying that much. Big Easy gets a block and can't make it back, which is like the story of his life. So, you know, at least on these challenges, I don't know what to expect from him this season, but, you know, he was a pretty late draft pick by UML. So, you know, seems about right for where he would have gone there. And,
yeah, I think so. We'll see. Yeah. I'm not feeling surprised. As confident. I thought he was going to be. It was great that he was able to dive down and get it because it did seem like that was tricky. It looked, those blocks did look fairly deep. Not that I'm a water expert of depth, but him getting it was like, I was like, yeah, you did it. And then he just like sat there and had to get the lifeguard. I was like, oh, Big Easy. Never changed.
I feel like, maybe it's rumblings outside. I know like Allie has talked a lot about how like Big Easy's, you know, like getting in shape now. He's like in better shape than when he was on the challenge originally. Like Jemmy's coming back, like working out a lot more. So I had decent expectations from the two of them. And I would say Jemmy delivered here.
After her retirement, Scally, after her retirement from the challenge, now she's back and she's not going to treat it like a vacation anymore. She's here to work. And I was like, okay, yes, I'm here for Jemmy putting in like extra effort on a challenge. But like after your retirement, like I'm so sorry. Like, I love Jemmy. But, like, they stopped asking her to come back, and that's what the retirement was.
I felt like she had a retirement at one point, too, and then came back on the main show.
For sure. Right? She was definitely a little bit of a retirement, unfortunately, after Night had passed and whatnot. But, you know,
and
as far
as... And
that
was, like, an announced one. And so I was like, all right, that's the retirement. Like, I was like, oh, she retired again? Oh, no. No.
So yeah, Jemmy did well. Beth did not do well. She gets into the water, starts swimming the wrong way to get back.
She
Beth.
Was very defensive of her on the after show. She explained that because she knew she wasn't going to make it, she turned around right away so that she wouldn't waste more time. That is the Beth defense.
Which sure.
That's fine.
I thought that was a good strategy. Like for someone like Arissa, who like does not look like she's going to handle the cold super well. She's even said like, I hate the cold. Like, take a step in, turn around. Like, I don't know if you had to hit a buoy or something, but like, if you know you're not going to do super well, Beth seems to know she's not going to, don't even go knee deep in the water.
Like, let's some wet turn suits, it around. By the way, where were the wetsuits? More than, I mean, I guess that was the joy of it, but a wetsuit would have helped. Yeah. A little pee in your wetsuit, you would have been fine.
Letarian was struggling pretty badly. He didn't look like he was doing too well. And he was worried, obviously, because he knew if he lost, you know, there could be some implications for the fact that he's the team captain. So he wasn't too hyped up about that. Darrell also not doing great by picking up the other team's piece. And he was like not even realizing that until he got back. So that was going on. It was a lot of fumbling all over the place for all these people, but that's what made it fun. And then Tech pointing out, you know, it's like recess at the old folks home. Like Ruthie's down, Kendall's down, everyone's falling apart.
Oh, Tech, you delight.
But like, even there are a number of challenges on season 36 where they didn't go super well. A lot of people were failing, and like, those were flops, but this was fun because they have personality and they're funny, and it just plays so much better.
Yeah. And it's also like the stakes are a little lower essentially because they don't know what to expect out of this. Like, it is a challenge for people who have been out of the game for so long. It's not everybody that needs to prove themselves that, oh, I'm so mad now I'm going to get voted in. And if I don't get the votes, if I don't count to 1, 2, 3, 4, if I don't have this person on my side, it's like, it was so not that. It was just so like, people competing in a challenge, and like you said, Scott, like the personalities, and like, I don't know, just such a different feel to this episode, this challenge, everything here, to what we've had on a season that we've been relatively enjoying.
Yeah. I mean, I still love the challenge, but how many tweets did I see this week that were like, look what happens when you cast for personalities rather than athletes.
Yeah.
Like,
Cashley Mitchell herself tweeted it, aka Millionaire Mitchell, but I call her Cashley.
That's fine.
Exactly. And she is a mix of the two. She is like a very solid competitor who has a personality, but like, the personality should be the number one. And so like, that should be the disqualifier, is the lack of personality, not the athletic game. So I hope that this makes them realize it. Maybe the feedback will reach their ears, but you know, I'm going to say it every episode, probably, just like, so fun having like people that actually are good TV on TV.
Yes. Oh, yes. Speaking of yes, works pretty, pretty hard overtime there at the end of the challenge to get that last number in for the equation, gets, on, you know, gets that number written in the last block. TJ blows the horn. Tech gives us the big victory dance towards the end of this thing. Ysella got those two bricks. So they were, you know, again, those two were being praised for their performance there. This is going to end up being a men's elimination challenge. So as the two team captains, Tech is safe from any possibility of going in, and Ysella gets a lifesaver, so she is now going to have the opportunity to save a nominated player if they get pulled into the elimination. We find out that Letarian will be going into the elimination as the losing team's captain, so everybody else is going to go back to the house now and have to nominate one guy to go in against Letarian. And Scally, Letarian wants Ace.
The disappointment that I felt, it was not like Natalie Anderson's name coming up on Winners at War, but it was like, again.
Or it
was
Scally.
Frustrating.
Yeah, the Here name of are. This Skype group chat we're on right now is a Scally support group, if anybody...
Yeah, this is a hard week for Scally. We're like living it up, but Scally's had two real like death blows for his faves this week. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It happens.
He also had the first hit in the draft, which is, I feel like, unusual for him.
Yeah, I texted a friend and I was like, I mean, for draft purposes, I would really like Letarian to stay. But in my heart, I think I was rooting for Ace. I just think Ace was more prepared. Well, actually, maybe not, since he seemed like taken aback. But when Letarian like really was like taken aback by the idea of politicking, I was like, oh, this is not going to be good for you.
The thing is, I think that Ace is decently well prepared. I think that he could compete with most of the people on this. I think that bad draw with the elimination and who he was against, unfortunately.
Yeah, so when we get to the nominations, we have Cyrus. It seems like Letarian and Cyrus are working together here in the season. They seem to be good friends. And Cyrus was standing up for him, for Letarian, saying, like, look, I know he wants to go against Ace. I hope that we can all maybe honor that and give him that. You know, he's the first one to lose the challenge. Maybe give him, you know, he stepped up to be our captain or whatever. And he's like, if not, then we don't. But I'm just telling you what I'm reporting on for I know what he wanted. And Ace wasn't happy about that. He's like, so the loser just gets to pick who they want to go against? That's what we're doing around here? And it was like, this moment got like pretty tense. Like, John A and Nisa both like standing up to him, being like, no, well, we just, you know, said that we would have his back because he was our captain and, you know, whatever. And Nisa was like challenge explaining how this works to Ace, being like, you know, so at deliberations, we can talk here. We talk. This is what happens when we all come together. I know it's been a long time for all of you, but I just did last season. So like, we all come together and we talk here.
Like, Anissa, we know you've been on the show.
I thought it was fun.
Darrell, but he's chill about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That there are people that have been on and they're a lot better prepared for, like, you should have this figured out by the time you get here. Like, you're not changing anyone's mind in the deliberation, unfortunately.
Which he was upset about. He's like, so I guess he's like, I thought, you know, we do all the talking here, whatever he was saying. He's like, you know, all the talking goes on back there. Like, yeah, that does help. been. Yeah.
Yeah. What were you doing in between the challenge? Or is it about like 20 minutes? Like you had plenty of time.
The man doesn't even walk through the front door. He takes the windows into the house. So I don't really know what he's up to.
What a good moment. Oh, Derek did say also on the after show that I think that Ace was tipped off by Derek and somebody else before that, like that's what might happen. And he said it actually made it worse. They thought it was going to help, but instead just made Ace even angrier.
They're all monsters.
Oh my God. That made me laugh so hard.
The monsters are winning. The monsters are going to win because there's no heroes to slay them.
Can I say one thing I really love though about this season is the return of like having stakes if you lose, because I think what Double Agents has been missing is that it's more about like the power of if you win as opposed to penalties for losing. So they're throwing challenges and not really caring about the dailies, but now like everything matters. Like, your ass is on the line. And I really liked that part of this. And it's what I've wanted out of the challenge. So it's great to see that again.
Yeah.
Yep. Definitely agreed. Along with the lifesaver being like another added wrinkle into the season, like, and bringing back an old school, you know, twist. So I'm excited with the setup so far.
Yeah. So when we got to the votes here, we had a couple people that felt pretty bad for Ace, both Beth and Arissa. Arissa was like not wanting to say his name, but Ace was like, no, it's fine. Just go ahead. And I like the moment with Ace and Beth where Ace was like, you know, the only reason I did Real World back in 93 was because of Beth. I had a huge crush on her.
Whoa.
That was surprising to me.
Yeah.
He said 93, right? I was like, 93? Oh, my
God. There's no way.
Beth was on in 93. Ace would have been on.
Really?
Yeah, Beth was, yeah, because like first Real World was 92 and then Beth would have been like 93. Ace would have been on, I feel like in like late 90s, maybe like early 2000s. I can't remember exactly. I used to be very good about being able to put the seasons in order. Oh, so it was right after Vegas.
Yeah, he's a, you know, 10-year difference in their Real World seasons. But I don't remember that ever being a storyline back in the day on the challenges. And I'm upset that we missed out on it here, potentially.
I mean, Beth and Nehemiah.
Hey, she can get a new tenderoni. Ace is there for the pickings.
Yeah, All-Stars too. Keep an eye on that developing storyline. But yeah, and Trishelle's like, hey, Ace, your country's strong. Go ahead. You got this. You know, you got to do it at this point. Like, everybody's voting him in. And like I said, he makes the comments about the monsters always get the win. It's just the monsters are winning here. So, you know, he's not really enjoying, this early part of the game where it seems like everybody is, not really caring much about his place in the game. But when we get to the, now that's what I call 90s party, he seemed to be in better spirits.
1890s for Ace.
This was the one where I was like, all right, here's the dad jokes. Like, maybe I see their age now. No. Like, rolled my eyes a little, but like, all right, Ace. Like, always like the jokester, you know. The 90s party overall, though, I thought was like a ton of fun.
Yeah.
I wish we got more of it. It was really quick. It was like 90 seconds, but I mean, that's what happens when you have 45-minute episodes.
Mm-hmm. I think on the main... Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was surprised about the 45-minute runtime, considering that they're on a streaming service now, especially for the premiere.
Mm-hmm. I would have liked for the premiere a little longer. I can understand why, because, like, these 90-minute episodes are long. Chances are you're getting it, I don't know about your Paramount Plus, I've got commercials. Like, it adds up, and I think knowing also that potentially the audience for this might skew a bit older and be busier in life, like, 90 minutes is tough to sit down and watch versus like a 45 minute show.
Oh, you missed out on the deal. There was like a deal for like $50 for the whole year, commercial free.
Already had it.
Yeah, but I canceled that.
Got to cancel and make a new.
Yeah, I made a new
account. Yeah, but I was lazy, you guys. I'll just pay them.
I mean, lazy enough to want to sit through commercials? No way.
Yeah.
Wait, the deal was for commercial free?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. It'll come back around. So.
Yeah,
they're going to need it. Nobody's getting Paramount Plus. Let's be real.
Don't say that. I need another season of this.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's going to stick around, but like, I feel like that they rushed. I think my opinion is, I think they rushed All Stars out because they weren't getting this like huge rush of people subscribing at the big launch because it was just CBS All Access with a new icon on your Roku homepage.
Yeah, I had to update that app on my phone today because I wanted to watch the after show on my phone. So I was like, I guess I should touch this app for the first time in a long time.
They do have old Nickelodeon game shows and comedy shows now.
I know, and I wish I had the time to sit down and watch those. Like, one day I will, but I'm like, there's so much good stuff there. SpongeBob is there. One day. The party looked like a lot of fun, for sure. I, you know, the segment of like them going out on the main episode on the Double Agents episode was like the quickest it has ever been. I felt like it was like, you know, getting shorter and shorter and shorter every week. And this week I was like, I blinked and it was over, which is not a big deal at all. But this one was a lot of fun. They all genuinely seemed to be having a good time. I mean, it wasn't just like, oh, like, I mean, because this is like a celebration. Like, imagine if like Winners at War, they threw a party on day four and it was like, look at all these people, like the legends of the game, like people that are like, you know, have known each other for a while, all these years, people that have not talked to each other in so long, like just getting back together and having a good time. Like, it's just, it was awesome. So I really enjoyed that. They didn't enjoy it as much the next day when they were all super hungover, not feeling the greatest.
It was like a high school reunion, which I thought was kind of a concept that like has died with the era of social media. But like, this was so worth it. It was them meeting up together for 15, 20 years. It just paid off. And yeah, I mean, you can't hang like you used to when you party that hard at 40.
Yeah. So that, you know, seemed to be a fun night for them, a bad next day. We see Letarian is worried about the elimination, feels a lot of pressure. Ace as well was feeling a lot of pressure going into this one. Nobody wants to be the first, you know, all-star out. Nobody wanted to be the first Winner at War voted out. You know, it's just not a fun spot to be in general, but especially on like such an epic moment on an epic season. Ace was talking about how he wanted to win so he could give all the money away and try to make the world a better place. So Scally, maybe you have a point.
It's like, even if you don't know the guy, he's so endearing.
Yeah.
So I don't think most of these people are having that plan.
Yeah, to give all the money, like all of it. He really, all of it.
I can see it. Just like in the like very little, he seems like a simple small town and like very content with it.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Maybe is he giving some to you? Is that why you were disappointed?
Ideally.
Yeah,
like
Scally's in on the take.
Would love the money, would love the friendship.
And then we get to the elimination. We're at the arena. It seems to be just a very simple name here, the arena. Letarian, Ace get into a pole wrestle for this elimination. Mel, what did you make of Ysela with a lifesaver here and the vendetta of like 16 years coming into play?
God, what a payoff to know that 15 years later you would get burned by someone that you called dead weight like one time. God, that made it so worth it. So great. Again, why she's my MVP of the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kyle and Anissa, who like this yeah. was, you know, in never mind one season later. It's like it was so funny. And especially when they're like, do you want to use the lifesaver? No, like just a simple, nothing else.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No explanation.
No, I'm good. Which is like, and so like, help me out with this. The lifesaver, it's just going to be, I guess, in play every week. And if they use it, they use it. If they don't, they don't.
I think so.
Okay. I don't know why I in some way expected it was going to be like, oh, well, like only one can get used. No, that doesn't make any sense. I don't know why I was overthinking
maybe
it.
Maybe until
okay.
like a certain point in the season or something.
Yeah.
But. And I like, I'm interested at least where Anissa was like, if the lifesaver gets used, like, how did the next person go in? I presumed the person with the lifesaver would get to choose.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden Anissa seemed maybe like, maybe there's another vote. Maybe there's something else. But I haven't done my rewatch as recently. I don't know all the different iterations of the lifesaver, if it varied that much.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember that twist. That's too far back.
Yeah, I think it was that they got to choose, to my memory. Mm. But pretty powerful, though.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to come up at least once, if not more. So, you know, we'll see in coming episodes how it all ends up going. But yeah, she's not going to use it. It's going to be LT versus Ace here. He seems, Letarian seems pretty happy. This is going to be a physical elimination. I think Anissa was the one who was like, I've not seen him this happy since we got here. So he was looking forward to this. And you see why as we get to round one and then round two of what Anissa described as Ace being used as a toilet plunger, essentially, of just, yeah.
Oh,
and that's
God.
that wasn't inaccurate, the way that he was, you know, Letarian was holding the rope in his hands and Ace was like clinging onto it, but like it was just up and down and up and down. And he, yeah, I did not feel like I would ever want to be Ace against Letarian in this matchup.
If you think a hangover hurts at 40, imagine what that's gonna feel like. He's probably still in pain.
He broke two ribs.
What?
Wait, actually?
Yeah. Yes, he posted about it. He broke two ribs. He's like, but all worth it. Loved the experience. But yeah, he broke two ribs in this.
Oh, my God. I mean, I'm not surprised by seeing how much he was banging against the ground and like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
But that's what I'm saying is like Ace is pretty capable. But wow, Letarian, I did not expect this. Keeping my eyes on Letarian, I don't know where he went in our draft, but seems undervalued.
I got him pretty early, I think. I think I took him like second or third.
Yeah, okay. third round for your team. And I think that was like the bottom of the third round. So yeah, definitely like middle of the pack here.
Seems undervalued still. Maybe he's not he didn't seem, you know, prepared for the social game of it all, but mm-hmm. At least from what we saw this episode, but wow, in an elimination, he definitely is proving that him versus Alton was a fluke last time, it seems.
And theoretically, we're going to get this exact elimination again, but with Anissa playing the role of Letarian and Kendall playing the role of Ace.
It was a really funny confessional.
Yeah, I was like, what, where did that come from? She's like, yeah, Kendall looked at me and was like, so like, is it always like this? And I was like, yeah, and like, this is exactly how I'm gonna, you know, beat your ass. And I'm like, what did she do?
Like, I love the idea from? Of Kendall like earnestly acting, asking like, is it really this brutal? And Anissa being like, I'm gonna do this to you. Like, out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's how we do it on the Challenge 36. I mean, the Challenge All-Stars. Hey, did you guys know that Anissa was on the Challenge Double Agents?
I've heard a couple. Yeah, like 1 to 18 times.
Darrell was there as well. They keep talking about, like, you know, the modern players, and they're talking about, like, Anissa and Darrell. I'm like, no. Those are players who are still being asked back to be on the modern seasons, but we are by no means saying that these are the modern-day players that are, because they were like, they couldn't keep up in the Challenge either. It's like, yeah, they're the same age as you.
Yeah, like Darrell was the better performer. Anissa did exactly how she's been doing on Double Agents.
Yeah, like not much fine, of a difference.
Fine enough. Like,
she just blue skidooed over to the other screen to be on the other show, and now she's there. But yeah, so we'll see how that plays out with Anissa and Kendall. But yeah, Letarian gets the win here. Ace definitely seemed a little banged up. TJ tells him that he is definitely a legend. Everybody loves him. And he's talking about how it's great to see all these people after 15 years. But, you know, he's excited to go home and see his dog. So at least he has that to look forward to, Scally.
He was tearing up at the thought of going to see his dog. Like, and going out with, like, this was the honor of my lifetime. Like, he really appreciated this. And I think even on, like, Challenge Mania, he was talking about how, like, he would do a real season, let alone this. So, especially going back and seeing, like, all the people that you used to do this with. And, like, this was your life 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I could see him getting on the main cast, by the way. And I felt very sad at the end of the episode. Like, genuinely wanted to cry.
I thought it was possible. I don't know that this helps it, but we'll see. I would not be disappointed. But
listen, we had Johnny Bananas was eliminated first multiple times, and we got stuck with him for well over a decade and a half. Yeah. So, like, anything's possible.
Ooh. Casting pool's a lot bigger now. So I don't know. I don't know if this inspires a main challenge run for Ace, but if it does, awesome. If it brings him on All-Stars 2, awesome. But yeah, just like I said, like, crying at the thought of seeing your dog and like wanting to donate all the money and being like, he's a little bit of a lovable, you know, party douche. Like, it's going to win my heart.
By the way, sounds like no bananas on 37 either. So
yeah, I thought somebody sent me something where he's like, oh, like tired of it, over it. Like,
yeah, there was like a whole U.S. Weekly or something, like, article. Was. He was like, I miss the old challenge. It's like, well, All-Stars exist, but like, I also don't want you to find out about this happening because then you're going to show up on it.
Wow, Bananas is tired of Bananas on the Challenge about 15 seasons after everyone else is tired of Bananas on the Challenge.
Yeah, so if you need your daily dose of I don't know, yearly dose of Johnny Bananas, there's an article about that, and then you can, like, I don't know, watch his new show that he's doing.
But
I don't know.
Yeah, those four episodes.
I'm not plugging that. Okay. TJ also gave some fist bumps on the way out. You guys catch that?
I did.
That was cute.
Good send off.
Yeah, that was like, I'm gonna keep bringing it back to Winners at War. Like, Winners at War, like, everybody giving Jeff a big hug in that one tribal council. Like, the bonus footage that we got of the jury members.
Yeah, I think there's respect here.
Yeah, like, TJ was having a blast. Mm-hmm. He was excited.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And there's some of these people that, like, I want to say at least one or two of them that he might not have ever met before, because if they were on seasons before he started, so.
Oh, yeah, the Johnny Mosley years.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely at least one or two.
Yeah. So that's essentially it for this week. The preview for next week, we don't have to talk much about it because Scally doesn't, you know, really watch it anyway and prefers to go as unspoiled into the next week as possible. So, you know, if you watch the preview, then you saw that there could be some stuff happening next week, as stuff will happen every week. That is what a teaser right there. But should we talk about the draft?
Sure.
Should we talk about the draft?
Yay! Let's
talk about the draft. I think we all need to still talk about points off air. We don't really need to go over the points of it all here.
Fair.
But, I mean, always feels worthwhile to at least check in with everybody and see what we think about that. I'm kind of going based off the point system that we use in the other draft. So going into or coming out of this first week, we have myself and Mel actually tied in first place. 18 points apiece. We have, I had Jemmy, yes, Arissa, yeah, and Yasella all won the challenge, and then Yasella got two. I gave, I added this in, bonus points for team captain, so Yasella got those two extra points.
Winning team captain.
Yes.
just curious. I have a loser team captain.
Then Nehemiah and Trishel and Big Easy and Beth all got points on Mel's team for winning, and Letarian got points for an elimination win, so 18 points for Mel. And then Scally and Haley both tied with 12 points, so we have a first and a second place, I guess you could call it. So that's just, I mean, that's, again, we have to kind of go over the points thing off air just to see if we care about the exact details of all that, but yeah, definitely a fun start here, and looking forward to seeing how it all plays out in the next 8 episodes. Scally,
I don't want to lose anyone else. Like, I'm already so sad, and like, it's gonna be a women's elimination next week, and there's so many more of the ones that I love on that side. It's so fun, and I'm so happy it's happening. I'm happy it's back. I'm happy we get to see all these people. But I don't want to go another 15 years without seeing many of these people. So, rooting for my faves next week.
Yes. Mel, final thoughts from you for today for either challenge, but I mean, probably for All-Stars.
Let's thank Mark Long for making this campaign, and good on him for not being first eliminated, which was Scally's dream. And I'm just so excited for this season. Like, it's so refreshing, and this, and along with Real World Homecoming, like, the nostalgia really hits well right now. Maybe it's the COVID times or just like our own just enjoyment of nostalgia in general, but this is a really great show. I hope it gets a second season. I feel like it will. I don't know, like, if you try to every time do like a totally fresh cast, or are we going to have, you know, returnees? TJ didn't say to Ace anything about coming back. But he wouldn't know that because we don't, if it's renewed. But I can't wait to keep watching this. It's almost a bummer it's only 9 episodes, because it's so good. And there's so many of them. I don't even know how we're going to get there.
Yeah. And with season 37 around the corner, I'm like, and the turnover time is so quick. I'm like, is the next season going to start after these 9 episodes end? Like,
we're heading into a new life that is 52 episodes, like, I can't a year do that. Like, just double it up.
I can't do that. Survivor 30, Survivor 41 is filming right now too, so I don't know. I imagine that the fall is going to be when most of these shows, you know, kind of kick back into gear, but we'll see. You know, lots of speculation on that end of things. So I guess that's it for the day. Lots more to come with both of these challenges as we get closer to the final on Double Agents and eventually crown some winners. And then get to episode 2 of All Stars and see, you know, what's to come here. Scally, did we miss anything of social media or Reddit or I don't know what, anything at all?
Not off the top of my head. Was a light week for me, at least on Reddit, looking wise. But maybe there was some stuff I missed. If we did, we'll talk about it next time. Mm-hmm. So,
yep,
you know, just excited for more of this.
Yes. Like Mel said, there is an after show. So if you are interested, the after show for the All-Star season is on Paramount Plus, not on YouTube, like the after show for Double Agents is. Both of them still are being hosted by Devin Simone. So some good stuff there. It's a little bit longer as well on Paramount Plus. So that's there if you want it. But Mel, thank you for joining us for this.
Thank you guys for having me. This was a blast.
Lots of fun here. You are talking about the challenge every week.
Yes, I am talking about the challenge almost excessively, almost the only thing I talk about. Over on Clubhouse, we started a club for the challenge. I just hit 200 members with my amazing other team of admins, so super excited. I usually do every Wednesday before the new episode, we do a pre-cap to kind of recap the week before, make predictions, and then we've got rooms all the time to recap All-Stars, Double Agents afterwards. I've even done like some game shows of Are You Smarter Than a Challenge contestant. So having a ton of fun talking challenge on Clubhouse.
Yeah, the pre-cap just seems to line up with the BB Can episode. So I'm always like, I would love to, but
I'm so behind on BB Can, by the way, I'm watching too much challenge and too much Clubhouse.
So is anybody like, I don't know, is there like specific instructions for how people would find that, but to find you doing all that stuff on Clubhouse or?
If you're on Clubhouse, just search in the club. And if you just search the challenge in the clubs area, we're the top, I think we're the only Clubhouse club about the challenge so far. Okay. I think some other ones mention it, but we're called the Challenge CH Invasion. Fun fact, you cannot use the word Clubhouse in the name of your club. Learned that. Wow. But yeah, we're doing it there. And if not, just tweet at me at MelGotServed. I have some invites too. So if anybody wants to get on Clubhouse, hit me up. Would love to have you there. Love hearing from everybody, because what's great about it is we can all, you know, Q&A and talk about our favorites and our least favorites and any of the topics. We have some great debates going on there.
Yes. And did you say Twitter? At Mel Got Served on Twitter. And
yes, indeed.
All the places to follow Mel. So yeah, thank you again, Mel, for joining us. We had a lot of fun here today, and we'll check back in again before, I'm sure, either at the end of the season or something, for all the drafts and everything here. So good stuff here. Scally, time for your Mike Bloom-esque plugs.
No. Let's see. Did an episode of New Girl, Old Guy this week, talking about season 2, episode 5 of New Girl. Models, very fun episode. People should go check that out for sure. Also talked about what is currently last night's episode, but the most recent episode of Big Brother, the Big Brother Canada, the eviction episode over on RHAP. So that was a lot of fun and people should listen there. And otherwise, probably whatever else I'm popping up on will be on Twitter at Brian_Scally.
Alrighty. And same with me. Anything I'm doing will be on Twitter. I think I'm on Sunday's update. So if you want to chat some BB Can, I'm probably also going to do the Scally routine of the update followed by the Clubhouse on Sunday. So if you're listening to this before Sunday, come hang out for all that. If you're listening after Sunday, hello to you after Sunday. Otherwise, that's it. Follow me on Twitter at Matt Liguori if I didn't already say that. We'll get out of here for now. Thank you guys for checking all of this out. Episode 2 of the Challenge All-Stars and some other episode of the Challenge Double Agents coming next week. We will see you guys then. Take care, everybody.